Fools for Christ. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Now, when we're talking about this series, it comes from a basic scripture text that I have been sharing with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that says, "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise." Now, I bet for most of you, your parents did not instruct you. Now, when you get old, I want you to become a fool. So, you know, that might give a little bit of confusion here when we're talking about becoming a fool. To be wise, you must become a fool. But so I want to do some distinguishing here between, as I talked about, a fool for Christ versus a fool for the world. We would identify a fool for Christ as when the world thinks you are a fool because you side up with the things of God. The things of God are foolishness to the natural man, but truly wise in the eyes of God. So when we're talking about being a fool for Christ, it's the world that's going to look at you and say, you're a fool. But God will look at you and say, you are truly wise. Contrast that to, or distinguish that from, what we would call fools of the world. And that is when you side up with the ways of the world, which are contrary to the ways of God, then you will be wise in the eyes of man, but foolish in the eyes of God. Now, when we're talking about a fool for the world, you know, and you go back to that guy with the t-shirt on the front that says, I'm a fool for Christ, whose fool are you? It's like you are going to be someone's fool. When we talk about fools for the world, you know, we could basically say, and I'll connect this here, we could say fools for Satan. Because Satan is the god of this world. And so anything that's originating from this world that is contrary to the things of God, really their origin comes from Satan. And the scripture says, it's the same one that I quoted when it said, when Jesus said, I came that you might have life. Just before that it says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I came that you might have life. So we see the god of this world, his intent is to do works of destruction. And so if he can get people siding up with him, becoming a fool for the world, they're not wise in the eyes of God, and they're headed for destruction, and that's what we'll see here today. But, you know, it's kind of like, if you think about, I've used this before too, a Bob Dylan song, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And we might say, you know, you might be a fool for Christ or a fool for the world, a fool for Christ or a fool for the devil, but you're going to be a fool for somebody. And so I'm going to attempt to be a fool for Christ as much as I can and encourage you to do the same, to be a fool for Christ rather than a fool for the devil. Today I've entitled the message, Fun for Fools. Okay, so what is fun for fools? Either way, we're distinguishing fools for Christ, fools for the world, or fools for the devil. What is fun for fools? Well, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23, we're going to start talking about foolish boundaries. Proverbs 10 and verse 23 says this, doing wrong is fun for a fool, but living wisely brings pleasure to the sensible. So you see the contrast here. Those who want to be fools for the world, doing wrong is fun for them. Fun for a fool of this world is doing wrong. But fools for God are going to live wisely. It brings pleasure to them. Pleasure to the sensible to live wisely. Proverbs 14 and verse 16 says this, the wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. So do you want to be wise or do you want to be a fool? And I'm not talking fool for Christ here. This would be fool for the world, plunges ahead with reckless confidence. When we're talking about boundaries, foolish boundaries, the boundaries are foolish by your perspective, whether you look at them from the perspective of God's point of view or the world's point of view. And one of the best scriptures that I can think of that gives us the boundaries, God's boundaries, is from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm sharing this from the New Living Translation. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, and teaches us to do, it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So God has given us boundaries of right and wrong. He helps us to know what right and wrong is by having given us the scripture. This is spoken of as God-inspired, or that word actually means God-breathed. So it wasn't just people from history writing down things as it came to them. This is my thought about this. What they were writing down is God's thoughts about this, about our life, about what we do here in this life. And he's given us instructions so that we can know the difference between right and wrong, and we can choose to do what's right, taking pleasure in doing what's right. That's what's fun for a fool for Christ or a fool for God, is doing what's right. That's what's fun for them. But a fool for the world, what's fun for them is doing wrong. So they'll see things, probably not even see things in here, because they're reluctant to look into the scriptures, into the words of God, but develop a mindset or a perspective or human reasoning that seems wise to them because it's wise to the world. And therefore living outside of the boundaries that God has established, and as we'll see, headed for destruction. Now, I've often used this scripture, illustration of, this is like God having put lines on the highway for us. God's word is like lines on the highway, or boundaries that are intended to keep us safe. A couple of weeks ago, I put up an illustration that was similar to this. And I asked if there was anyone who was in driver's training that knew whether this was a safe place to pass or not. Well, Shannon raised her hand. She was in driver's training. And she answered correctly. Do you still remember, Shannon, is this a safe place to pass or not? No, it's not. And why not? No passing zone. And how do you know it's a no passing zone? The double solid line there, yellow line in the middle. And by the way, she went on the next day. She had her driver's test and got her license. So congratulations, Shannon. You passed. I knew you would. Had the right answers here. You passed our test. So I knew you'd pass your driver's test as well. But this actually is a real place on a real road. A place where our guest this morning, Molly Reese, was involved in a car accident as a result of someone else going outside of the boundaries. Molly, why don't you come on up here, and let's give Molly Reese a good Praise Fellowship Church welcome. I'm glad you brought your coffee cup. Or is it tea? Is it tea or is it coffee? Okay, we're going to enjoy ourselves up here this morning, and you can just relax because we're family here. So take a big swallow.
Easy for you to say. There's a lot more people from this angle.
It's okay. Everyone out there, say, I love you, Molly. Okay, see? So you have nothing to worry about.
Perfect.
All right.
I didn't know this was actually...
Yeah, I went out and I took the picture because I thought, I want them to see what was actually going on here. Molly Reese is, how old are you, Molly?
23.
And what is your profession?
I'm a nurse at Mayo.
Okay, and I'll just have you hold that up there so we get a good recording. Molly's a nurse at Mayo, and I remember, I think it was like February 6th. Mm-hmm. And we received a post on Facebook from Stacy Loneman, who is your cousin, right? Mm-hmm. And Stacy's a part of our church here. And she had posted on Facebook that her cousin was in a severe car accident, and please pray. Well, when I found out who the cousin was, Molly Reese, her mom is actually a classmate of mine, Diane Reese. We were classmates in all through school, kindergarten through high school. And I don't know if you remember or not, but that morning here in church, we prayed for Molly, and then Melanie and I went down to the hospital afterwards to just spend some time with her parents, Diane and Steve. And then we had the opportunity to go to Molly's, outside of Molly's room. She was in intensive care and really out of it. And we had the opportunity to pray for her. So Molly, I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you, and we can make this as interactive as you would like to be, or as, you know, I might be interruptive when I'm
Please.
Asking you questions, that kind of thing.
I'm going to forget.
Okay. But anyway, so here is this road from this angle. And we might need to adjust the lights here a little bit for you guys to get a better view. Just for a bit, turn those stage, well, yeah. No, this, you can turn those back on and turn the stage lights down a little bit. Turn the fluorescence back on, please, Nancy. But you can see here, this is from the other direction. The direction we put up on there first was eastbound. This is westbound. So you see the curve going the other way. And explain what these two cars are here, Molly.
The white car there is the car that actually was trying to pass the car that's in the ditch. And like Roger showed, it was that curve that is right by Oxbow Park. And he got into my lane in a no-passing zone and hit me head-on going highway speeds. And so a significant impact, you can see. My car's not in that picture, actually.
This is a close-up of the other car that was doing the passing that head-on with Molly, yeah. And there's Molly's car.
Yeah.
So you guys witnessed two miracles this morning as she came up. First, that she's alive. That was number one miracle. Second, that she's walking. That's the other miracle that you guys had the opportunity to experience this morning. So share with us what happened, what your experience was.
Well, that night I was headed to my parents' house for dinner, and I was traveling on that road by Oxbow, and it all happened so fast, actually. I don't really remember, but I saw a car that was headed towards me in my lane, and there was nothing to do, but actually I was headed for the ditch at first. And at the last minute decided to go in between the cars because otherwise I would have got hit on my driver's side door. And actually talking to the investigator after that, he said that's what actually saved my life. They were able to take the box out of my car to tell what happened seconds prior to my accident. And like I told Roger when I was telling him this story, the theme song of that night would be Jesus Take the Wheel because honestly, like it happened all so fast. I don't know what came about me to go in the middle of those cars, but so we were hit head on and I was knocked out on impact and probably for only seconds. And I woke up to my airbag deflating on me, and being a nurse in this whole deal was horrible because I could tell that my bones were obviously broken on my legs and my arm. And the Jaws of Life spent 2 hours trying to cut me out of that car right there. And the poor EMT that was sitting in the front seat with me, I was ordering him around, telling him to give me fluids and narcotics and everything. I feel so bad. He was in training, too.
Good training, yeah.
Yeah. After they cut me out of that, I was flown via helicopter to Mayo and was rushed into surgery right away. I had bones sticking out of my legs, and so they had to fix that right away.
I'm going to put you on pause here just a little bit. Now, viewer alert, if you're squeamish, now there's no blood and guts coming up in this, but if you're squeamish at all, you might just want to have someone else tell you what they saw, okay? But when you start looking at these breaks, I mean, when I first saw them, I go, oh, ouch. Yeah. It's just like, oh, look at that, you know?
Yeah.
And so quite a bit of mending to be done in surgery. How many surgeries have you had?
I think it's 7 now.
And
I'm hoping to get a punch card. Frequent flyer at Mayo.
last one free, right? Get to
But so yeah, I was rushed into surgery right away to fix the bone in my leg is the one that was sticking out, I think, on this whole side. I didn't look at it. I didn't want to that night. But it was 20 broken bones in all, mostly from my waist down and my arm, as you can see, ribs and collarbone. And I spent a month in the hospital. Half of that was in rehab, where I had about 8 hours a day of intense therapy. And by the time I was able to leave the hospital, all I was able to do was stand on one leg for about a minute. And
explain what this deal
that
is
there is one of the contraptions keeping my femur in place, because they weren't able to fix my femur that first night. And so that's kind of holding it together. And I had that for a couple days, and it was painful, very painful. Unfortunately, there weren't enough drugs. But yeah, that's in the ICU as well. I don't even know. Oh, gosh. That there is me doing physical therapy. Like I said, that was me able to stand on that right leg for about a minute before I left that hospital. Ever since then, I've been doing physical therapy at home, and now I go into Rochester to do physical therapy. Almost every day I do something. And the doctor said I wasn't supposed to be able to walk until August.
Wow.
And so I am.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There's one more. And this is long past.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been walking for a long time.
That's
already.
That's like the day before I left the hospital there.
Mm. Oh.
But like I've said, well, you can talk about the fool that hit me.
Right.
There's also been so much good that's come out of this, too. And I've had such amazing support, like amazing support. And I want to thank all of you for your prayers. I didn't mean to get emotional here.
You know what? Guess what I brought? It's a frequent occurrence here. Isn't that right, Charlie?
Anyways, I wanted to thank Roger and Melanie for letting me share this story, because if I can help prevent this from happening to anyone, it'll be worth it.
The challenge here is there's nothing you could do, right?
No.
Because this was, and when I heard about how Molly's accident, I thought, you know, this is such a prime example of that illustration that I've used over and over again, only Molly wasn't the one going outside of the boundaries. She was the innocent passerby. But we can see the effects of foolish choices going outside of the boundaries. And again, I'm not just relating this to Molly's accident, but relating this back to God having given us lines on the highway. Now, I will share this, that Dale improved on my illustration a couple of weeks ago. He added rumble strips and the guardrail, talking about our conscience, that God has given us that as well. Good job, Dale. How dare you one-up me, though? But, no, That was really good, because God has given us a conscience to help us, you know, when we know right and wrong, and we start to veer off into doing things that are wrong, he puts those rumble strips on, and even the guardrails, to help us from experiencing those troubles ourselves. Now, obviously, the gentleman, there were two gentlemen in the opposing car, and they're in extreme critical condition as well. Now, we're not here to crucify the driver of the other car, but this was not just, from the investigation, this is not just a one-time event of activity. This gentleman was characterized by that kind of reckless behavior. And as the scripture shared that I shared, the fool recklessly pursues, recklessly goes on ahead, and that's what was happening here. Explain a little bit, Molly, about the benefit. We put this in the newsletter, last month's newsletter, and with the details. So why don't you share with us a little bit about the benefit and why? What's the benefit for?
Actually, my coworker is heading this benefit for me, and she's been amazing. But her father actually last fall was in a pretty serious accident himself. He fell down a grain bin And the community came together and took out all his crops within a couple hours. And she said it was just so overwhelming and emotional for her and her family, and she wanted to give that back to me. And so when she found out about my accident, she immediately started putting this together. And she's been working really hard at it, and it's going to be really nice. It's August 21st on a Friday, and anyone and everyone's welcome, and I just want to celebrate my life and being here.
Now, again, as we talk about the opposing driver characterized by the reckless behavior, part of that included no insurance. And yes, obviously, you know, all of us pay insurance for uninsured motorists if you buy insurance. But it has its limitations as well. And as you can imagine, the kind of medical expenses that would be there. How many days were you in the hospital?
30.
30 days. Intensive care, how many days?
I don't know. 2, 3? I don't know. I was pretty out of it then.
3 days?
Yeah.
Can I share something funny about your mom?
Might as well.
You want me to ask you?
No.
When Melanie and I came up there to spend time with you and to pray with you, she found out that as pastors, we get free parking in the ramps, you know, and that's good. It's a good thing, right? For ministers, Mayo offers that, free parking for ministers, because, you know, they encourage you to come mm-hmm. and visit the people of your congregation and pray with them and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I don't know why, but I happened to share that with Diane. And so she says, well, Roger, you're going to have to earn your parking place. Let's go pray for Molly. So all in fun,
thank
of
you.
Course. But so again, we had, you know, we weren't able to go in directly and lay hands on, but had the opportunity to pray from the doorway. And we're just... Again, the thing that we want to share here, and I'm going to pray for you, Molly, but I'm also going to pray for that other gentleman, because like I said, we aren't here to crucify him. He's made some choices in his life that has proved him to be characterized by being the fool that we're talking about here, not just in your driving, not just in your, you know, but your life behavior, your life experience. And as Molly said, there's things that we can't prevent. And in fact, here, I wanted to share this scripture kind of with, along with Molly's experience, because it wasn't like she did something wrong and now is paying the consequences of it. It's like she had something happen to her that was beyond her control. But even in those things that negatively happen to us, God has a way of redeeming things. That's his business. He is a redeemer. And so even the negative things that happen in our life, and this passage from Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Not everything is good. Not everything that happens is good. But the things that happen that are negative or contrary to the things that God's will is, remember Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. This would look like something absolutely contrary to that. I don't believe it was God's will for her to experience this accident. But I do believe that it's God's will to turn this around and make it for good. It wasn't a good thing, but to make it for good for Molly and for the lives that she's... I mean, how many people have already been affected? By your witness, your testimony, your strength, you know, they are being challenged and encouraged. It's like your experience could be another YouTube viral video, you know, of a person who experienced the challenge in life and got up and kept on going and pursuing. And so we're going to pray the Lord's blessing on you and this benefit. I'm going to share a little bit more about this benefit and how you can be involved. But let's pray for Molly. Just if you want to just stretch forth your hands, we'll just pray for her. Father, we're glad for Molly's courage today to come before this crowd and to make herself vulnerable by sharing her experience and the challenge that is here in her life, not only what she's gone through, but from here on out, Lord, the challenges that will come as a result of what happened to her physically. But Father, as we've already been witness to the miracles of her being alive, number one, and number two, her being able to walk and this soon. We believe that you are at work in her life, Lord, beyond the abilities of medical science. We're very thankful and grateful for medical science and its abilities and its technology. But we are very dependent upon you beyond that, Lord. And so we're praying for a healing and a restoration for Molly in her physical being, that she would be able to come to a point of that these things that she's experienced would not hinder her in any way from what she is able to do. And Lord, we do pray for the young man who is in the opposing vehicle, and realize that no doubt there's some things out of order in his life to cause him to be characterized by this kind of behavior. And so may he come to a place, Lord, of understanding about you and about your boundaries that you've established because of your love for humankind. We believe that you love that young man as well, Father, and we want to pray for a redemption in his life, Lord, that he can turn around and rather than being and acting the fool of this world, Lord, he can become a fool for Christ, recognize the boundaries that you have established, not just in his driving, but Lord, in the whole of the area of his life. And may he make that turnaround, we pray. And Father, I just want to pray for Molly's benefit, part of its purpose, not only the celebration of her life and her thankfulness, but also, Father, a fundraiser for the many medical bills that are there. And we just pray for just a financial blessing beyond what's humanly possible. Lord, we know that's the way you work. Lord, to do things that are beyond us. And so that's our prayer. And help us to know how we could be a part of that as well, Father. We just pray your blessing upon Molly. We pray your blessing on her continued healing and restoration, her continued employment, Father, or any changes that might come about as a result. I know she shared a couple of things about possibilities with us. And may you just bless her, Father, in her venture, trusting that you have ordered her steps, Lord. This accident didn't take you by surprise, Lord. We know that you know all things, and that we trust that this will work out for Molly's good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Bless you. Thank you. We had already announced this, I think, last week. We were sharing that we're going to participate in Molly's benefit in a couple of ways. First of all, we have Larson Farms and Steve Lee to be thankful for a hog that was donated and is processed, is in frozen storage at Concord Store and Locker, and will be raffled off or silent auction, however they do that. And that will be one of the benefits that's going to go. And that's a result of your giving. That's a result of the benevolent fund that we're able to utilize resources from for these kinds of things. And so as well as thanksgiving to those who have donated the hog, thanksgiving to you guys who have paid for the processing for that. We also made it, as a church, made a donation to Molly's, there's a fund on a website that we can get you the information to, and you guys participated in that as we made that donation. We are also making an appeal for bars for the event, which is on the 21st of August, but we're going to start distributing these now. In fact, I do have a sign-up that we will take out to the kids' registration table that you can sign up if you'd like to help supply a pan of bars. We'll furnish these for you so that you can take one. And Susan Roberts is giving leadership to this. She was unable to be here today, but has directions in here for where to bring it, when, that kind of thing, so that we can make sure that we get them all to the people that are doing the benefit. And so might be a little bit of a challenge with it being fellowship meal following the service, but we'll stack all of them out there. And if you would please put your name down, then we will have a record of who signed up, and Susan will be able to make contact with you and make sure that we follow through on that. We would like to, and we'll keep the pans around until they're all gone, but we'd like to have 20 pans of bars that are made for the event. So Just some other things that I would like to share along the lines of this message then, just because this goes so much farther than the things that happen to us physically or our choices, you know, especially when we're driving. It's our choices when we're driving our life course. And so I want to share with you that, you know, Jesus has laid out before us in Matthew chapter 7, if you would turn there with me, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, he has expressed a pathway of life. And a choice is given to us. See, that's, and I frequently emphasize this, that God is about giving us a choice. He never takes our free will, even when it leads to the destruction of someone else. God did not stand in the way of that young man passing that other vehicle and making that poor choice, because he's not into control. He gives us a free will and an ability to choose, even when our poor choices end up hurting ourselves or others. And then, like I said, God's in the redemptive business to turn things around and make them for good. But in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." Let me just share some thoughts along that line. First of all, I was talking about a narrow gate, a narrow way with a narrow gate. And if you want to know how narrow it is, Jesus identified that when he said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So Jesus has narrowed the gate. There is no way to get to God except through him and receiving him as Savior and receiving him as Lord. And so, you know, there are many world religions. Again, fool for Christ or fool for the world. Human reasoning says there should be many ways to God. Why so exclusive? But there's only one who died for our sins. There's only one who is innocent to be able to die and pay the price for our sins so that we would not have to live eternally separate from the Lord. And so Jesus establishes that narrow way or that narrow gate, that he is that himself. He talks about it being a difficult road, and I'll share with you a little bit later here about why it's difficult. He says there are few that find it, but it is the gateway to life, which is the kingdom of God. Compare that to, or contrast that to, the wide way. It says many choose that way, but it is described as the highway to hell. That leads to destruction. So, you know, if you think about it, I talked about foolish boundaries. Again, it's like lines on the highway, boundaries that are there to keep you safe. That's what Jesus says when it's a narrow pathway to God. We sometimes want the wide way. You know, let me have my freedom. Let me do what I want. God is so restrictive. I can't live that religious life. It's too hard to live. I can never be good enough, so I'm just going to go have my fun the way I want it. It says there's a lot of people on that pathway. It's a wide one. There's lots of freedom on that wide pathway. But what does it lead to? It leads to destruction. Leads to death. Or in this translation, it is so descriptive, it calls it the highway to hell. Versus a narrow pathway, and I'll show you the difference between the wide and the narrow and what it looks like in your life. But the narrow pathway leads to life. So we need to look beyond the right here and the right now. Sometimes it might feel restrictive, but there's a way to get past that. I'll show you. But that narrow way, that difficult way, Jesus said there's not many choosing that way. But that's the way that leads to life. So when we're considering our life and our choices, when we're considering our behavior, there's lines that God has given us, boundaries that will keep us safe, that will give us the best life that we can have, the full life that Jesus came to give us. Contrast to you choosing your own way, a wide way that the world says, express yourself, have your freedom. Whether we're talking sexual sins, whether we're talking same-sex marriages, whether we're talking, you know, all these kinds of things that lead a wide path for freedom. But yet God says that's a pathway to destruction. And so who are you going to be a fool for? Either a fool for Christ or a fool for the world. You're going to be someone's fool. And my continual encouragement is, let's embrace what God has given us as guidelines on the highway and agree with him, saying this is the way that we should walk. I'll share this passage from a couple of other translations. I don't think I put them, I didn't put them up here. No, I did not. So I'll just read these to you. From New American Standard, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." From the Message paraphrase, it says it this way, "Don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way of life to God is vigorous and requires total attention." Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. And we are going to look at what I've called the freedom of the narrow way. When Jesus gives us the choice, the wide path or the narrow path, I want you to see that there is freedom in that narrow path and encourage you to choose that. Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verses 19 through 21. And I would say that this is very descriptive of what we would call the wide path. Lots of freedom here to do what you want, to do whatever you desire. The wide path that, as it says, leads to destruction or leads to hell. Verse 19. "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." People, this is descriptive of a highway to hell. The choice of the highway to hell, the wide path that leads to destruction. Compare that with the next passage of Scripture, which is verses 22 and 23, that says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life." Or in other words, this is the result of living a life on that narrow pathway. It describes it as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So it really, it's kind of like what it's saying here is, if you're living this kind of a lifestyle, you don't even need lines. You've chosen that narrow pathway. Your conscience is working so much that you never get into the rumble strips or scraping up against the side rail. You don't even need a law to tell you what's right and wrong, because you're letting the Spirit of God control you. And his fruit is coming out of you and expressing itself in this way in your life. Let me back up. I'm going to show you some verses in 13 to 15 of that same chapter, chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. It says, "For you've been called to live in freedom." Okay, here's the freedom it's talking about. "My brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." And then in verses 16 through 18, it speaks of living a life that is directed by the Spirit of God. "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions." Okay, so what I want you to see in this, the hard part, when Jesus said the narrow way is difficult. Few choose it. Here's the hard part. What you're doing is you're saying no to the sinful nature that wants its wild way. It wants the wide path. It wants the freedom to do whatever I would choose to do. Because the Spirit of God is saying, no, don't do that. Because you're only going to hurt yourself or others in your life around you, the people that you love. You express those characteristics of verses 16 through 19, or excuse me, 19 and 20, you express those characteristics, it's going to destroy your relationships, destroy your families. But if you choose to let the Spirit of God direct you, that's where the difficulty is, to say no to the desires of the evil nature and say yes to the Spirit of God. But once you've said yes to the Spirit of God, then you have that freedom of not being concerned about who am I hurting, because you're loving the others that are around you, and you're expressing that characteristic of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Remember, the Spirit dwells in you, God in you, and He expresses Himself through you. And that gives life and peace to the people that are around you, not only for your own life, but to the people that are around you, your family, your coworkers, everyone else that you come in contact, your sphere of influence. Let me just go on. I don't have these in your notes, but I want to share verses 24 and 25. It says, those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's do that. Let's allow the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us and yield to Him. And when our sinful nature rises up and wants its freedom, we go, no, you were crucified with Christ on the cross. And just nail that evil nature with Christ on the cross and say, nope, I died with Him. The life that I now live is not my own. The life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God. And it's by the Spirit of God that is living and dwelling on the inside of me. So what is fun for fools? Fun for fools of the world is doing wrong. Pressing on forward with dangerous, continuing on. But fun for fools for Christ is living wisely. And wisely is within the boundaries that God has established for us to live in freedom, and to enjoy the full life that He has given us, and to redeem the negative parts, the contrary parts when they happen in our life. That is having fun as a fool for Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You again for Molly's courage in sharing her experience, and what a tremendous illustration, Father, that happened in such a negative way, but helps us to see what actually happens when we live our lives outside of the boundaries that You've established. Sometimes we look at the guidelines of Your Scripture and think, that's so restrictive. But Lord, if we would only see beyond that and see how much You love us and why You have given us what the world would call as a strict behavior. You've given those guidelines to us, Lord, because of Your love for us, and You want us to avoid the accidents that would hurt ourselves or the other people that are around us. Please help us, Lord, to make application of this lesson, not just when we're driving. Help us to be conscious when we're driving, but Lord, even more importantly, when we're walking the path of our life, to live in the freedom that You have given us by the Spirit of God, with the fruit of the Spirit of God expressing itself through us, and us experiencing that fullness of life that You came to give us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.